And when you have that clarity on what you're doing, the year is a new year. Instead of learning, and even when the learning is geshmak, but when you understand why I'm learning, and you understand how it's affecting me. So the learning is a different learning. So you have to understand the power. And why Torah is different than all other 612. As we know, Talmud Torah connected to Kulam, but why? So the Nefesh HaChaim says an unbelievable thing. He says that if you take a guy doing all the mitzvahs together, all 612 together, biyachad, I imagine one guy doing all of it at once, not just doing it, b'shleimut ha'amiti k'ra'ui, every dikduk, every chumrah, every tzad, the best way possible, the shenichu with the kavanas, makubalim, everything. Take that guy. All the mitzvahs together. B'chop ratayim v'dikdukayim. Kavana v'tara kedusha. Imagine that. Can you imagine that tzaddik? That ultimate tzaddik. The tzaddik hador. Doing all the mitzvahs at once the best way possible. Not comparable to a guy learning Torah. That all the mitzvahs together, and that guy steiging for that 1 hour, not comparable to the aura and the kedusha and aruch b'dinyan klal. You cannot compare. The fire that that person gets when he learns is greater than all the mitzvahs combined in the best way possible. And then Nefesh HaChaim goes on. He says, when a guy does a mitzvah, he gets a special or, a special kedusha, fine. But it's like a lighter. You guys know about the lighters? In the old days? The second your hand is on it, there's a fire. And the second your hand is off it, the flame goes down. That's a mitzvah. The kedusha of a mitzvah lasts as long as you're in it. The mitzvah's over, the light's gone. Not so with Torah. It's forever. That word, that hour that you stayed, lasts forever. So we see that Talmud Torah is not just a mitzvah. And we see that. A guy could put tefillin and mezuzah and tzitzis on all day long, from the day he's born till the day he dies, and he cannot change. That's not possible to learn. We see that. There's a before a guy stayed and after a guy learns. That power affects him. Why? Why is that so? Why does Torah have that power? Why? That's why we're in it all day long. Why does it have that fire? In order to, you have to understand, let's take a step back. Hashem created the world. We have to understand, there's a purpose for us. We're here not just to learn. We're here to get close to Hashem. Hashem is gigantic. You think of this world. This world, everything in this world is Him. Every bird, every fish, every insect, every human being from Adam and Rishon till today, till forever. Every cell, every arm, every leg. Every blade of grass is Him. Everything that happens is Him. Every traffic jam, every NFL team, win or lose, it is Him. Stock market goes up and down, it's Him. Every bad mood, every good mood, everything is Him. He's gigantic, He's enormous. And that's only this world. Imagine, you'll go to the universe. The stars, the sun, billions. You think of the sun, everyone knows the sun? Anyone know how many earths fit in that sun? That one sun, you know how many earths? 1 million Earths fits into one sun. You know how many suns there are in the galaxy? Billions of suns. Do you know how enormous we're talking here? And our God is the King. Melech HaOlam is everything. So you think of every single thing in our world now doesn't seem so big anymore. from China to Bangladesh to Madagascar to Brooklyn. Five towns. Muncie. Anyone else?
Wisconsin.
Only one.
You think of the enormous world, and you think of Hashem being in charge of everything. So you might think, how in the world is little me going to get close to that giant? How in the world is little us? It's impossible to attach ourselves to that power. So Hashem said, I am going to put my perfection in the Torah. I am going to put my power in the Torah. And you want to attach yourself to me, you attach yourself to that. All that power, all that perfection. I'm going to give you a chance to perfect yourself. Because the more you attach yourself to that power of the Torah, the more powerful you will be. Because when you attach yourself to Hashem, that power goes to you. You attach yourself to that perfection, the more perfect you will become. So when you see Torah, when you learn Torah, it's not just a Gemara, it's not just a Pasuk, it's not just a Chazal. It's the power of that giant power, that perfect power, that we have an opportunity to be close to. And once you understand that, once you can understand that, and sometimes we feel that, we don't understand why we feel that. We don't understand why we change. But we understand that there's a before and after. You know, on the train, I know, or on the signs, you have like a before and after picture. You have a guy, obese. I don't know why I'm looking around the room. There's a big guy, fat guy. And then that's a before, then you see an after guy. GQ, unbelievable good-looking guy. Still looking around the room. What is it trying to show you? What's the before and after picture trying to show you? Fat guy, skinny guy. Guy with crazy acne. All of a sudden, Mr. Stud. Picture later. What is he trying to show you? What happened in between? What happened in between? Oh, he's so fat now. He's so skinny. With Torah, we see the same thing. You have a guy before yeshiva, and you have a guy after yeshiva. His mind is changed, his personality changes, his powers, leadership changes. He becomes smarter, he becomes clearer about life, priorities become straight. You have a before, you have an after. You don't have to explain to me what happened. I know what happened. He attached himself to that power, and automatically changed him. A person has to understand that when it's not just a mitzvah, when you walk through those doors in the base, it's not you're just doing another mitzvah. You're changing yourself. You're changing and you're having the opportunity to attach yourself to to the perfect power of Hashem. Where nothing else could be the same. But I'm going to tell you, when I was in that room, this room too, in the change of shades, and it's about time though, huh? And I'll tell you, there's something that I realized that clicked. And when I clicked it, I got like mature enough to realize this. And when I realized it was a game changer for everything. You know, when you're in high school, there's a problem with high school. We all know. Because the problem is the high school system. There's no option, but the system is faulty. I don't know, but I was trying to think of another option. I don't think there's another option. What's the problem? When I'm in high school, I don't know about your high school, when I was in high school, I had to go to Minyan. I had to. Why? If not, detention, suspension. I had to learn. I had to go to class. Why? Get beaten up. I'll get in trouble. So when I you know, you go out of, that's what you're so poor. You come out of high school. Why are you going to Minyan? For the rabbi. So I don't get detention. For my father. And then somewhat you graduated with that mindset. But then you still think you're doing mitzvot. You're doing mitzvahs for Hashem. Like okay, I'll throw you a bone. As if like, listen, you gave me eyesight, you gave me food, you gave me a house, you gave me parents, you gave me a family, you gave me everything I have, you gave me breath. Okay, so fine, I'll learn, fine, I'll go to Minyan, fine, I'll do. That's how we think. We even when in our better days, I used to think that that's how we used to, that's our mindset. Like, as if we're doing him a favor. As if, like, he needs us. Like, fine, like, your mother, you know, your mother ever asked you to go to the store? Like, can you pick me up some peppers? Ugh, fine. Fine, I will. You know, she does everything for me anyway, I might as well go. But you're not going for you. You're going for her. And when you go for her, how many times can you go for her? Imagine going for her. Hey, can you go to the supermarket, get me some peppers? Okay, go. Come back. Can you go to the store and get me some onions? Oh, fine. Can you go get me, get out of here. I can't do it anymore. When you feel like you're doing it for someone else, even if it's God, we burn out. How much can we push ourselves? Even if it's the creator of my world, even if he gave me everything I have, even if I know that I owe him. But how much can I do it for him? And then it hit me. We're not doing it for him. We're doing it for us. We are all selfish, all of us. And we're supposed to be. God created us that way. We want to better ourselves. There is no one in this room, no one in the world, even when they do chesed, you know what they come back when they went to the hospitals? It feels so good to give. Oh, it's all about you. It feels so good when I give. Which is good. That's what we're supposed to do. I feel so good when I learn. I feel so good when I'm connected. When you start to realize, which is an amazing thing, and for me this was the, if I had to point to the thought, the click, that I became mature enough to realize, this is it. It was this point. God is perfect. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need anyone. So then why is he giving me Torah? Why is he making me do these mitzvahs? Why? Because he wants to share that perfection. When you bench, you're not benching so he needs a thank you. Like your mother cooks you dinner, where's my thank you? That's not what he needs. But he wants to better you. He's so perfect, he wants to give you that perfection. So when you realize it's for you, I want to be better, I want the best, I want pleasure. I want to feel sick, I want to feel good. When you realize that it's all about you, it's not about him. He's giving you that opportunity. Yeah, when I do mitzvahs and I learn, it makes him happy. But you know why it makes him happy? Because he wants you to be the best. He wants you to grow. He wants you to shine. When you realize, when I realize, because how many times did I do him a favor? How many times did I, fine, I'll go to Minyan. Fine, I'll learn. Fine, I'll do this. Fine, you gave me this. Fine. I can't anymore. No, what's it talking about him? I want to grow. I want to be the best I can be. I want my colors to come out. I want to be the best leader I can be. I want my personalities to shine. I want my meaning to say, and I want to feel pleasure. Pleasure? This is about pleasure? This is about pleasure? I'm supposed to feel pleasure? And it's an unbelievable thing. The Mesilas Yesharim says an amazing thing. You know, usually we look at mitzvahs as if like, okay, like you're pushing yourself. You know, the Mesilas Yesharim says, you know what the purpose of this world is? It's a crazy thing. I'm going to put a period where it doesn't belong, just so that we can get the idea. It says, Ha'adam lo nivra, a person was only created, Ella, I'm going to put the period in the wrong spot, in the next word, lit'anig, to get pleasure. Can you imagine? Imagine like the rabbis tell you when you go to yeshiva, by the way, you know why this world was created? We want you to have the sickest time in the world. We want you to feel not normal. We want you to get the most pleasure. Pleasure? Pleasure in these walls? There's another street that I can get some pleasure on. Pleasure here? That's what it says. We were created in this world for pleasure. To get pleasure. Not just pleasure. You know what type of pleasure? He says, and I'm going to skip those few words, HaTanug HaMiti HaIdun HaGodo Mikol HaIdunim SheYacholim Matzeh. More pleasure than you will ever find anywhere in the world. You are created to get that pleasure. Can you imagine? It's like against everything we thought about. You know, we looked at religion as if like, okay, like I have to. Or like, fine, let me just get used to it. Or let me try. No. The purpose of it is only for one thing. For you and for you to what? Get pleasure. Now, it's not the pleasure that we might think about. It's not the pleasure that we're used to getting. But really, it's the ultimate pleasure. When you start realizing that closeness to Hashem, at the end of the day, gives you pleasure. Not as a favor, not as I'm throwing back to him a good word, now I'm giving him a bone, but really it's for you. Once you realize that, once you understand that concept, that is all changed. So then, you know, some guys go to Minyan. I don't want to go to Minyan. Minyan? No, it's for me. It's for me. For my pleasure. Okay, let me learn. No, it's for me. Once you realize it's for you, I don't want to stop. You don't want to stop. We all want to gain. We all want to get pleasure. We all want it. So we have to get it. It might be hard in the beginning, for sure. It might be rusty in the beginning. It might be a tough road to start with. But at the end of the day, when you realize that it's not giving him anything more, but it's really giving you, then a person gets a totally new understanding of how he has to look at life. It's for me. So a person has to realize, you know, that's why you see the Gedolim, they don't stop. They need every second. Like Chaim Kanievsky, you know, he was sitting Shiva. So he was getting up from Shiva. The Gabbai was waiting. He was getting up. The Gabbai was waiting at the corner, right when he's getting up, with the Gemara open to the line that he left off with when he found out someone passed away. There's no time to turn pages. I'm hungry. I need more pleasure. Because when you have closeness to Hashem, how much bigger a pleasure can it be? You know, you see these Gedolim stories. That, you know, I heard a story of Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg, his grandson, I once met his grandson. I said, listen, tell me a real story. You know, you meet the family members, you always have to ask, like, give me a real one. Not these, like, I don't know, you never know. He says, I'm tell you a Maisa Shahaya. I'm made on this. He was in America. And his Gabbai says, okay, I'm going to the store, can I get you something? And he says, okay, get me, maybe I mixed up the names, get me ivory soap. I need ivory soap. And the Gabbai goes to the store, and he gets Dove. So Rabbi Scheinberg, the Gadol Hador, looks in the bag, and he says, I asked for ivory, why did you get me Dove? And the Gabbai says, you know, excuse me, Rosh Hashiva, I didn't know you were someone to Gashmias. I'm saying, you know, ivory Dove, even I don't know the difference in it. He goes, I did a test of which soap do the suds wash off quicker so I get back to my Gemara quicker. And it was ivory. Every second, when you feel that, when you get that clarity that you can't stop, when you get that pleasure, you want more and more. So we have to come to that understanding that a person, that when he has that idea that we're hungry for, it's like, I don't know how the food is in the yeshiva. It's pretty good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ask the boys. Good?
Yeah.
Okay, half of you. So like this. So let's say, you know, you have to treat Torah like it's the first day, that like as if you've gotten Har Sinai. Actually, the diet from the Pasuk, it says that you got Baal Mibar Sinai, Bayom Hazeh, Baal Mibar Sinai, Bayom Hazeh. Why is it this day you came from Sinai? I mean, this day, that day. This day, as if today. Rashi says, every day of Torah, you have to look at it like you just got Torah from Har Sinai. Come on. Who could do that? Can you imagine? Can we look at, remember, the first day of school, the first day of this man, or the first day of when I got into it, and now I'm going to what? Now you want me to feel that every day, that newness? You want me to feel that every day? Not only that, feel Har Sinai every day, like I just got the Torah, with that excitement. How? How do you do that? So we can't understand. Imagine what's the best thing they serve you? I don't know.
Schnitzel.
What's the thing they serve every day?
Schnitzel.
Got it, okay. So you go, first day of the thing, get the schnitzel. Wow, this yeshiva has the best food. Second day, schnitzel. How's the food? It's okay. Third day, schnitzel. Thursday's menu, schnitzel. Friday, schnitzel. Oh, Shabbos menu, schnitzel. Cholin, schnitzel. Cholin, schnitzel everywhere. I can't look at schnitzel! I can't deal with the schnitzel. I can't even say the word schnitzel. Every day, you want me to look at it like it's new? But you know how, you know the Talmidei Slabak, you know how they say, explain this? You know how you're going to love schnitzel? Imagine you come in to yeshiva on a crazy tour, on a crazy hike, whatever. They didn't feed you lunch. They didn't feed you anything. All of a sudden, you come to yeshiva, and what's for dinner? Schnitzel. I love schnitzel. Like the first day of school. I'm starving. You know how you're going to look at Torah exciting every day? When you're starving for it. When you realize what it could give you. When you realize what every word could give you. I'm starving. I need more pleasure. Oh, yeah, I'm not full from yesterday's schnitzel. Today's schnitzel's even better. The Gemara I learned yesterday is not the same Gemara I'm learning today. I want more. Because I'm hungry. When you have that clarity, it's not just learn. When you understand why, when you understand what it does, when you understand what it can do, then I'm starving. And when I'm starving, it's like the first day. That's how we have to think. We open that Gemara, we run to it. Because it's for me. Just like, you know, like when you're younger, I'm sure even now, when like there's a crazy... Besides, let's say they don't serve schnitzel that day, right? They serve poppers. All right, never do that?
No.
Okay, Zat Hashem. It's on record, we're going to do it. Imagine poppers one day. All of a sudden, signs all over the base. Poppers for lunch. Poppers. All of a sudden, the Zman is over, and the lunch is at 1. All of a sudden, by 12:59, hope, and everyone is already storming, running. Because they understand, they want that. That's how we have to be with Gemara. At least, what it could give me, when I have that clarity of what it does to me, when I have that clarity of what it boosts me with, what I deal with. Now we know it's not easy. The Pasuk says, we know this, you know, I wish it was so clear. We know it's not clear. You know, the Pasuk says, in Tzavim, the Pasuk says like this, he gives you a choice. Imagine God gives you a choice. You have Chaim and Maves, Bracha and Klala. You have a choice. I'm giving you a choice. By the way, I am giving you an option, life or death. Blessing or curse. Choose one. Thank you. You need to tell me which one to choose. Schnitzel or poppers. Alright, which one? You don't need anyone to tell you advice. The Torah says, I'm going to give you an option. Bracha and Klala. Blessing, I'm giving you life. And then the Torah says, by the way, I'm going to tell you which choice you should take. Ubachata b'chaim. Choose life. You know what? Yasher koach. Thank you very much. I never would have known that. You know, honestly, I was so close to choosing death. I really was so close. You need to tell me to choose life? What is the Torah telling me? Was there a havamina I would choose not life? Was there a havamina I would choose Mavet over Chaim? What is the Torah telling me? So Waxman has a bomb shot. And he says like this. Why does the Torah need to tell you to choose life? Why? It's not obvious? Answer is, it's not obvious. Sometimes a life of Mavet, sometimes a life that looks like Chaim, is not really Chaim. Sometimes a life that looks amazing, that's not life. And the life that you think is torture, that's life. Imagine a guy that started Shabbos. Oh, I'm chained, I'm locked. No phone, no this, no that. It's torture, it's mavet. No. B'chat b'chayim. That's Chaim, that's life. Sitting in a chair for 4 hours straight is life? So you're going to choose that? No, I'm not going to choose that. No. B'chat b'chayim. Choose life. Because I won't know that's life. So you need the Torah to say, by the way, I'm giving you a choice. Life and death. You know what? Choose life. Not what you think life is. What I know life is. And when you know that and you choose that, but we don't see that. Sometimes we see a world that's not real. And that's why we get messed up. We don't know what's really life. Doesn't look like life. You know, I went on this trip to VR World. They don't go to VR World? No one went. The Wisconsin guy, I know they didn't go to VR World. No one else went to VR World? Why? Guys don't get in. It's in New York. Okay. So New York. You guys are from New York.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll visit. So now, there's this place called VR World. VR World stands for, anyone can guess it, virtual reality world. It's a crazy place. Took my students there on a trip. It's a crazy place. You put on these glasses, and you're living in a different world. You feel like you're living in a different world, meaning you're a different person, and when you move, that character in front of you moves, punches, and goes. So they have this, it's like they create this whole virtual reality. Everyone knows what virtual reality is? Even Wisconsin guys? Yeah. Okay, fine. So you have this virtual reality, and you're living in a different world. So they have this thing. You're boxing people. You're fighting. You're shooting. And it's as if you're really in the war. Not just like you're playing Xbox or Fortnite. You're in it. So they have this exhibit, or whatever you call it. And you won't believe me. But it's this little, like, above ground, this little, like, ledge. Literally, like, this is, let's say this is the floor, like, up to here. Like, your three-year-old or your great-great-grandmother could walk up on it, like, no problem. And it's not like this thing, it's like this. And there's no, meaning it's even if you fall, you're on the ground. It's basically very, very above ground. So you go out, and you're watching the person, like, doing. So they put on these glasses, and they just get the guy to go on the ledge. And all of a sudden, this grown man starts screaming for his life. No! I'm not falling! No! You out of your mind? This thing you saw, I mean, it's not like we surprised you. You saw the ride before you went on it. You saw the ledge was this much above ground. And you can't understand what is he going crazy about. It doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, like the aide, the assistant, like whatever the, you know, whatever, that guy, and you're like, the guy's holding him, hugging him, screaming. And you think the guy, you're laughing, and you're making fun of him, and you're going crazy. And then it's your turn. And you see, you put your eyes and your glasses on, and what it does, is it takes you in an elevator up to like the 90th story, shows you the city all the way down. You know, these little people that's thousands of feet below you. And now it's time, they open the doors, and you're time to, in your glasses, you have a tightrope that you're walking to the next building. And you're walking. And I started screaming my head off. Are you crying? I started screaming, no, you're going to fall, I'm going to fall. I started hugging the guy. And then the guys fall, and they start screaming because it shows you the guy falling down. And you're so scared. And even though you saw the ride before, you saw the guy make a fool out of himself before, you saw the whole thing. You knew the whole thing was one big sketch. It was so real that you couldn't help yourself get torn into it. Get thrown in as if it was real. And when I took off those glasses, I said, oh my God, this is life. You know reality. We know what real is. We know MS. We know Torah MS. We know which way we want to go in life. We know. But when we put on those glasses, the Yetzirah has the whole world looking like one big virtual reality. As if we're walking into some type of different world where everything else is priority. Everything else is real. Oh, it's so real. Money is so real. Everything is so real. And really, we lose focus on what really it is. You can get fooled so easily. And you have to realize that it's all one big game. When a person realizes, you ever go to Universal Studios? Anyone ever do that? Okay. I don't know why I went to California instead of New York, but fine. Virtual reality, while I mention my name, I get a discount every time I give this speech. So you go to Universal Studios. I remember when I was a kid. Okay, I went to Universal Studios. I don't know if you felt this way. So you go to all these like famous movies, and you saw like, you know, the car, the trees, and this, that, and then you go behind the scenes and you realize it's not a real tree. It's not what I thought was a car and parked on the side. That wasn't a real car. That guy didn't really die and bleed. It was a whole sketch. They tell you how the whole stunts go. One big game. That's really what life is. So easy to get fooled. So easy to lose focus. It's so easy. So b'chad b'chayim. Choose life. Don't get fooled. Attach yourself to what really life is. Hang on tight. And when you hang on tight, that's the only way out. So I'll end with one story that happened to me last year. You know, and this answered a big question that I had. I was in Israel last year. I went to the Kotel. Anyone ever go to... I'm scared to answer. Anyone ever go to the Kotel past like 9:30, 10:30, like 11:30? Ever go like see all these Israeli bar mitzvahs and all these crazy things? It's a crazy place. The whole place changes. So I was there, and tons of like regular Israelis and like wearing all these different weird things and chains and earrings and crazy. And I saw an Israeli and I saw his t-shirt. And the t-shirt bothered me. I don't know why I cared, but it just bothered me. And the Israeli said, the future is now. I said, that's not true. Future's not now. Future's tomorrow. Future's not today. Future's tomorrow. So what does that mean? And when I thought about this t-shirt, I said, I wish I had this t-shirt to hang up on my wall. We think that when you look at someone, I'll give you a good sports example as a mashal. I remember the boys had a crazy Super Bowl, it was a great, crazy quarterback, and the boys go, wow, yeah, I see this quarterback, best quarterback in the league. I said, what made him a great quarterback? Oh, you had to see how he played the game, you had to play the Super Bowl. I said, that's not true. He wasn't a great quarterback because of the game that he played today. But 10, 15 years ago, he decided he wanted to be a great athlete. And he worked and he trained and he worked and he trained. And then he was able to catch that ball. So the future wasn't then what he did in 10 years. What you're going to be in 10 years has nothing to do with what you do in 10 years. What you're going to be in 10 years has everything to do with what you're going to do now. A person has to realize he's planning on his future. Everyone has dreams. Everyone has goals. But they think that there's a disconnect. You know, I want to go. I want to start. You know how many people I speak to? Oh, when I was in yeshiva, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want this. That was my future. But what happened to it? You know what happened to it? When you were in Israel, you had a future dream, but you didn't understand that future dream had to be worked on now. What you do now will have an effect on who you're going to be in 20 years. What you do in 20 years has nothing to do with what you're going to be in 20 years. A guy that steigs now, a guy that attaches himself to Torah now, you think you'll get your rebellion? You think it just turned out that way? When they were in your age, they buckled down and they steig like crazy, and then that's who made them who they are. So your future has nothing to do with what you do in the future. But your future has everything to do with what you do now. A person, you know, Rabbi Gifter had on his wall, Gedolim. Everyone know the story?
Scared again.
Everyone, there's a Gedolim on his wall. Gadol, 18, 19 years old. Gadol. All Gedolim pictures. And then an empty picture, how? In the middle? That didn't have any picture. There's no picture, empty frame. Pictures of Gedolim all over when he was 19. And a picture frame in the middle empty. You know what it said? Why not you? Why are you, Rabbi Gifter? When are you going to be the Gadol? And I always had a question on this story. You know, you're putting up pictures of 90-year-olds, of 80-year-olds, and you're 18. Why not you? Okay, when I'm 70, I'll worry about it. When I'm 60, I'll worry about it with me being like the 80-year-old. When you're 18, you're putting a picture, why not you to be a 90-year-old Gadol? And the answer is yes. Because who you're going to be when you're 80 has nothing to do with what you do when you're 80. Well, who you're going to be when you're 80 has everything to do with what you do when you're 19. The more you attach yourself, the more you grow, the more you strive now, that's what father you're going to be. That's what type of person you're going to be. That's who you're going to become. So the future really is now. How you are dealing with your yeshiva days today is not about to have a good zman, a bad zman, and a bad day, a good day, as if we're talking about today. You're not talking about today. You're talking about the future. How are you going to be in the future? Everything is now. So Siyata Deshmaya, you have another month till Purim. You have to focus on your future. Everyone wants to focus on their future. That's now. You lock yourselves in that cave. 1 month, no parents are all away. Parents are here. No, Baruch Hashem. Good? Okay. Fine, whoever is here, they get jet lagged for like a week after, even though they didn't go anywhere. And they just pump in 1 month of no distractions. Focus on your future. The way to focus on your future is how to focus on now. So, B'zat Hashem, you should understand the Kol HaTov. Understand what you're doing when you learn. You're connecting to the most gigantic, perfect power in the world. You're understanding Bachar to Bachayim. You're choosing life, even though it might not seem like life. But you're doing it, why? Because you want to get pleasure. You're doing it for you, not for anyone else. Not even for Hashem. He wants you to be the best. And with that, with Siyata Deshmaya, you can connect yourself to the Torah. B'zat Hashem, your future and your now will be unbelievable. Thank you so much. Thank you.